Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see y'all here for the last night of our fall revival. Apologize, we're a few minutes late, but I tell you what, we were scrapping around here this evening, but we got here. And I'm glad to see everybody here tonight. I'm going to open us up in prayer, and I think Ansley is going to come play for us. We're excited about that. Don't hang your head, child. We're looking forward to that. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord, for the beauty it's been and had today for us. And God, I just pray you put our hearts and minds in the spirit of worship tonight. Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God will just pour over us here tonight, Lord, and that you will just show up tonight. And God, that you'll just empty ourselves of ourself, and Lord, just fill us with you. And just pray for Cody and Derek and Ansley and whoever else is singing tonight. Any other singers that are going to be here tonight, Lord, we just pray for a special anointing on them as well, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I'm going to introduce Ansley. Most of y'all know her already, but she has really been working on this, and she self-taught herself how to play the keyboard, so you're in for a blessing tonight. You've heard her sing before, but she's a little nervous, but it's going to be just fine.
I see the work of the man.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do real quick now, so I can converse with Cody James over here real quick. We're going to take a minute to meet and greet each other. So y'all take a second and go around and meet each other and shake each other's hand and welcome everybody here tonight. Amen.
Opportunity to be back here in your house tonight, Lord. Lord, you've given me many blessings, Lord, like I'm pretty sure you have everybody else in this building, Lord. Yes. I'm just hoping, Lord, that we can take this tithes and offerings, Lord, and help you use it for the work of your kingdom, Lord. In the holy precious name I pray.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, we kind of had to throw this together real quick tonight. We had some technical difficulties and some things changed, but anyway. We're going to sing this tonight. How great is our God?
Amen. Let's give them another round of applause. Oh, dear. Thank you, Emma and Hannah and Miss Becky. I'm going to get another mic. Hang on. Mic check 1, 2, 1, 2. Check, check. There we go. I'm glad to see y'all tonight. I'm thankful you're here. I'm thankful you've come out. I get the privilege to introduce one of my friends. Me and this guy, we've been through the ups and the downs, the valleys and the mountain peaks.
Yes.
He's been my best friend for too long, to be honest. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Crappy joke. Golly, I'm 0 for 2 on jokes. But tonight he's gonna come up and share his testimony, and then after he shares, my friend shares his testimony, then I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna do a little preaching. It's not gonna be long, but without further ado, Derek Lane, come on up here, man. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you, Cody. Great singing, ladies. That was fantastic. I thought that was really great. So I'm thankful for Cody and Mr. Bruce for allowing me to come share my story. The Lord laid it on my heart to come and share this testimony with people. I feel like there's a lot of power in it for me, just in getting past what, coming from death and now to life. It's beneficial for me, and maybe it can connect with some of you guys. So as I said, my name is Derek Lane. I grew up in the town of Rutledge, actually Fairplay, if anybody knows where that area is. Raised in a small church, pretty much identical to this one. Probably the same amount of people, same kind of folks. Ebenezer Baptist. And I have a younger brother, and my parents are sitting here with us today. We all went there. And it was great. It was really good. Living out in the middle of nowhere, 20 minutes to anything, you can, enjoy some church time to get with your buddies and play some basketball or wiffle ball, what have you, football. And that's pretty much the extent of what church was for me. It comes Sunday morning, my mom would come in there and get up, we got to be in church in 15 minutes. So I'd roll out of bed, put my clothes on, and go through the routine. And a routine is exactly what it was. I mean, it was more of a, now that I have perspective on it, it was more of just a doing religion versus having a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's what church was like for me in the extent of my Christianity, we'll call it, as a young boy. And the church, kind of the way I felt about it, is there's a lot of do's and there's a lot of don'ts. You got to go to church, you got to read your Bible, you got to pray every day, but you can't cuss, you can't, wear these types of things, you can't act this kind of way. And if you talk to my mother, she can affirm this. I was a bit of a rebellious child. Rules weren't necessarily... Rules weren't necessarily my favorite thing to follow. And that kind of being the tone that I personally felt from church, I pushed against it pretty hard. It kind of started off, I would say, it started off from day one, but, things really... got out of hand. In fifth grade, I was already smoking cigarettes and dipping. And then, seventh grade, I got drunk for my first time. Skipped school, one of my buddies, and broke into their liquor cabinet they thought was hidden. And, drank it away that day. Seventh grade, I was 10 years old. And it's just progressed. I was in school suspension, lunch detention, the whole class clown act. And, just a pretty wild child. And it's like, as time goes on, it just progresses into more and more. I reach high school, it's a big teenager now, so it's on to bigger and crazier things. I started smoking marijuana in ninth grade. What age are you? 12, 13 at that time. And started experimenting with that a year past, along with the other things that, it's just a building up kind of thing. And a year passes, and I find out about prescription painkillers. And so I started dabbling into that, and, checking that out. And, you can't blame it on anything, but, you know, there was kind of, you know, we lived 20 minutes from anything. It wasn't a lot of whole lot of people my age. I was really pushing back against the rules. It just, you know, there wasn't much going on. I felt like it was kind of just what you're supposed to do. You know, my buddies were doing it. I was doing it. It seemed fun. And it just continued to escalate. You know, I move on another year. I'm now a junior in high school. And it's become a daily routine for me. I mean, I would say anywhere from 6 to 15 painkillers a day that I would take, you know, and to drink and try to smoke to level myself as a functioning person. I'm 17 years old. I mean, that's a lot for a young man to handle. I mean, you can't handle it, honestly. It's spiraling down into what is about to be a train wreck. And that progresses my entire junior year, 11th grader in high school. And but there was one great thing that happened that year. I was introduced to a ministry called Young Life. Basically, you have leaders that volunteer and they befriend you, hang out with you, always come around, even when you don't want them around. And they didn't necessarily push, you know, Jesus onto me. It just like kind of ended up happening. I mean, they just kind of just stayed my friends, and no matter what I was doing, how crazy I was acting, they were just there. And you know, they convinced me to go to a Young Life camp over the summer, a week-long camp. And you know, I'm like at one of the craziest points in my life. I'm doing all these drugs, I'm partying, I'm sneaking all over the place, running from the cops. I mean, it's just wild. And then they dragged me into this camp. I'm sure when I got on that bus, some of those people on there were wondering what I was doing there. And but come to find out, something really changed my heart that week. They presented the gospel in a way to me that it just shook me. And I was fired up about it. You know, I came home, I was like, you know, it kind of reminded me of the do's and don'ts. So I was like, you know what, man, I'm going to quit all this crazy stuff. And I'm going to start doing the right thing. I'm going to start being a good guy, you know. And I went after it hard. And it lasted for about 6 months. Kept my act together, stayed out of trouble, you know, tried to make sure my grades were somewhat good so my parents weren't riding me too hard. And but it didn't last long. 6 months later, I found myself into some more trouble. And it's picked up right where I left off. I mean, it was straight downhill after that 6 months. I mean, party scene to pick back up for me, and it was honestly worse than before. And that carried all the way through until even into college. I mean, it was out of control. And then as soon as I get to college, you know, I find out that my father has an addiction problem as well. He's addicted to crack cocaine. That was life. That will rock you. Something that you don't really see coming. You would never think it would happen to you, and then you're there. And, you know, so I was really shaken up by that. I didn't know how to take it. I didn't know what to do. And we're like, all right, well, let's come together, man. Let's all figure this out. You know, let's do whatever it takes. But, you know, whatever it takes on you just ain't enough. And it kept going down, and, you know, eventually it led to rehab. And, you know, so I'm trying all these ways. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to be good at school. So I'm, like, really trying. I'm at Georgia Military College. You know, I make all A's. I'm, like, doing all these, like, community things and crazy stuff like that, trying to, you know, be just better at that, you know. And that wasn't really helping out. So I'm like, you know what, you know, I'm going to try to go make some money. I found myself a decent job and, you know, worked like crazy. And I was, you know, trying to be a leader amongst my household. I was trying to do all these things. Man, it just wasn't adding up. You know, I found myself still going back to the drinking and smoking things, just kind of numbing out, you know, the pain and suffering that's really going on. Yeah. I mean, it was chaos, absolute chaos. You know, I came to a point where I don't know what's up, what's down, left or right, wrong, who knows. I'm just going day by day. And praise the Lord, someone at that Young Life ministry convinced me to go to what's called College Life. It's their leader training program. I guess they didn't really know what I was doing or going through, and I got invited to that. But needless to say, I went every Wednesday and went through this like training deal that you go through to become a Young Life leader. You know, I'm still acting crazy, and you know, they have no idea, but you know, I'm doing all this, I'm drinking and going, you know, going out on the party scene on the weekends, you know, but I make sure I'm there on Wednesday, you know, and looking good for them. And it just, you know, it just came to a point we, you know, there's, I specifically remember they do this weekend where you go up, there's a camp in North Georgia, Sharp Top Cove. And we go up there, we help clean up the camp and serve them. It's just kind of something that people who do college life do every year. And they have this big auditorium, the speakers out there, and this night we had her off, and all of us, you know, Cody included, was sitting up in this room watching the speaker speak. You know, we were just relaxing and kind of absorbing for a minute. And for some reason at that moment in time, I was rocked. Man, he was just preaching, God is our Savior. Man, he died on the cross to wash away all the sin.
That's right.
All this chaos. You know, all this stuff that you are trying to fill yourself with that's running you right into a dead end, Christ died for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is a Father that loves you unconditionally.
That's right.
And I'd heard it many times, but for some reason, at my point of just, I mean, I was paralyzed by sin, honestly. I mean, I was so stuck in it, I didn't know what, like I said, I didn't know what to do. At my point of utter brokenness, in the midst of all this, I guess that's what it took. I broke down and I cried like a fool right there. And from that, and honestly, from that point forward, I knew right then that I was going to give my life to the Lord.
Yes, amen.
And I was going to serve Him. I was going to become a leader, and I was going to give back and push hard for kids like me.
Yes, sir.
And ever since then, it's been, I don't know if I would say glorious or, you know, it's up and down, but I'm really glad I made the commitment to serve the Lord. You know, I want to leave y'all with one verse before Cody comes up here. Something that just, man, it's stuck with me ever since that time. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have I already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold for me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Thank you guys for listening to my story.
Man, D, what a story. What a story, what a story. God is good, man. There's just all the time. Oh, thank you for sharing that, Derek, seriously. Man, so, I just want to preach on that, but I planned something different. I could go off of that right there. Listen. So the last couple of nights we've been talking about, if you go back two nights, we talked about Jacob.
Joshua.
I'm just making sure you're awake.
Amen.
Joshua. Actually, I did. That was I actually made a mistake right there. Joshua led the Israelites out of the desert into the promised land, and how a lot of times when we come up to a promised land, there's a problem in between the promise.
Mm-hmm.
And how Joshua's standing there on that river, the river bank, and he's looking at it, and there's this big Jordan River in between them, and he says, okay, take the Ark of the Covenant, take God, and put him right in the problem, and that's when things started to change. Then the night after, we said, okay, now actually, in real life circumstances, when I'm going through real life problems, I need a real life God, and I really need to be able to defend myself. And so last night we looked at the armor of God, how to put on the full armor of God and protect ourselves from the enemy, because we have an enemy. And tonight, I'm going to be a little short because you just heard Derek. That'll preach more than I'll ever preach. That'll preach more than I'll ever preach. But this is going to be my rally cry to Bethesda Baptist as a church, to Greene County as a community. Let's take what we do inside of this church building and let's take it out to the world.
Right.
What is it if we just keep it in this room? If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to John 5?
Praise the Lord.
John chapter 5. The healing at the pool is the name of... When you look up, I know you're there. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool." I just have nobody to help me into the pool. And when the water is stirred, I just can't get in. So while I try to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus says to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. And he picked up his mat and walked. Let's pray. God, this will be just another day of us coming and listening to somebody speak. If you do not show up, less of me and more of you right now, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? I just pray that you open up hearts in this room. God, if there's eyes that are blind or ears that are deaf, Lord, that you could open us up to where we can hear and see you tonight. Will you move and do what only you can do? In Jesus' name, amen. So I have this tendency when I read this scripture, I have a tendency to read this, and when I hear Pool of Bethesda, doesn't it sound, it just rolls off the tongue, Pool of Bethesda. And you want to kind of, like, if you're like me, I just kind of envision this beautiful crystal blue waters, and it has... nice, beautiful trees around the outside, and we're all just kind of kicked back on our lawn chair, drinking a nice cold Coca-Cola. Life is good. Everything's good. That's kind of the way the Pool of Bethesda. That's not at all what this pool was like.
That's right.
This pool was where the blind, the lame, and the sick came to lay. This is where, when you were ostracized from the society, you couldn't get a job. People didn't want to be around you because for some reason they thought if you were sick, I was going to get sick. And this pool was full of deception and deceit. It was nasty. It was gross. They would line up around this pool. And when John makes it clear that they thought that the waters would be stirred. And there was this myth in this day that an angel would come down and put its wing in the water and stir the water. And the first person that entered into the water would be healed. And so I'm trying to paint this picture. Can you imagine this pool of water, right? This pool of water, and everybody's kind of standing around this pool. Everybody believes that this water can do something miraculous, and they're all standing around. I mean, this pool is more like a football game than it is like a swimming pool. There's tension, there's calamity, there's just this, man, I've got to get into this water. My life is hinging, my happiness is hinging on me getting into this water. Something else we know about the water is it was the festival time. Just to make it clear, it's kind of like the Southland Jubilee. A lot of people would come into the city and there would be food. If you prepared something at home, you would bring it. There was singing, there was dancing, there was laughter. But in order to get to the party, you had to walk by the sheep gate. And now, if you know anything about a sheep, I know about cows. I was dealing with cows all day today, and it stinks. I mean, let's just be honest. It stinks. Patrick didn't take a shower today after it. And if you come over here in this corner, you'll smell what a cow smells like. Listen, I'm just messing with you. It stinks. It's nasty. It's gross. This is, fellas, if you're trying to take your lady on a date, this is not where you go. I can assure you. You don't take them to the sheep gate. This is the part of town that as people would be walking in, this is where you don't want to make eye contact. You kind of just, you don't want to really look over there because, I mean, these are beggars. This is what they do. Their life depends on, they're at the mercy of somebody else. And so we have this picture of just chaos, literal chaos. And then Jesus steps onto the scene. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" What a loaded question. I mean, my natural response is, "Do you want to get well?" I just want to scream at this guy through the story and just say, "Say yes." Just say yes. He wants to heal you. Just say yes. Do you want to get well? I don't think Jesus' well and our well are the same.
That's right.
Because I look at this story and I'm like, okay, when I think of well, you're okay, restore his legs. But I think Jesus wants to do far more than restore this man's legs. Can you remember the story in the Gospels when Jesus is preaching to the Pharisees and these friends have a paralyzed buddy and they lower him through the ceiling down, and what does Jesus say? "Your sins are forgiven." And then the Pharisee's like, "You're not God. You can't forgive this man's sins." And he's like, "Okay, just so you know, I have authority on heaven and earth. Get up and walk." Jesus seems to be far more interested in eternal glory than temporary satisfaction.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Jesus seems to be far more interested in, okay, there is an eternity. This life is but a glimpse, and you're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. I'm more concerned about tomorrow. Or eternity. You know what I was meaning, Derek. Don't look at me like that, man. Our human nature is, man, we just want stuff, don't we? Mm-hmm. We just want it. We just want things. I mean, think about as you're a kid. When you're a kid and you get a toy for Christmas, when the next Christmas came around, were you still satisfied with that toy? No, you wanted a new one. I know that's a funny example, but it's the same thing with a car. A new car doesn't say new very long. It's wired in our DNA. We want more money. We want more materials, more Facebook friends, more Instagram likes, more retweets. You know what I'm saying, Patrick? I'm picking on him tonight, ain't I? We just want more. That is the DNA. We are selfish by nature. We just want more. But Jesus seems to be telling, when he asked this question, this loaded question, "Do you want to be made well?" He seems to be referring to something far more greater than healing his legs.
That's right.
This guy's answer just seems kind of comical, doesn't it? It just seems kind of funny. When I read it, I'm just like, man, if only you knew who you were talking to at this time. I don't think you... What does he say? The man response is, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." This man has put his hope, his trust, and his future and happiness into this pool of water. Mm-hmm. His happiness is hinging on getting into the water.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you something. Derek just talked about it. What are you putting your happiness into? What are you putting your happiness... Is it this pool? Is it money? What are you putting your happiness into that it's like, man, if I don't get that, things will never change for me.
That's right.
Things will never change for me. I'll stay in this position for the rest of my life. I've got this faraway idea we put... How have we drawn this up in our head of like, I got to go get more, do more. Can't you understand? You won't be satisfied. Derek just told you from his life.
Amen.
When will we understand that the waters of Bethesda don't restore? These mythical waters that these ideas we have, they just don't restore us. They don't fill us up. We won't overflow from them. It seems to me that when Jesus said, "Do you want to be well?" He's saying, "Do you want your soul to just overflow? There just to be something in your heart that is just so content that you don't need any. Your financial statement doesn't define you. The doctor's report doesn't define you. Inside, you are confident with who you are and who God is."
Oh, yes. That's right.
Then what does Jesus say? Boy, oh boy. This is where the scene goes bonkers. I mean, is that even a word that we use now? Bonkers? Crazy. Callie, you know what I mean? This is where it gets crazy. Here we go. "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And instantly he was healed. This man had been paralyzed for 38 years. Imagine how worn out that mat was. Imagine how worn out that mat was. This man was dead and instantly he comes to life. So let me ask you a question, Bethesda Baptist Church. Do you have a mat? Do you have something you're bound to? Do you feel bound? Do you feel just tied up? Do you come to church every single week just to kind of check it off the list? Do you think, okay, my present or my past circumstances are too bad, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to withdraw. I'm not going to open my mouth. I'm not going to preach, have a Bible study. I'm not going to serve the poor. Listen, if you knew my life is too messy, so we back up. Or maybe we say, that's just not who I am. I'm not that kind of gal. I'm not that kind of guy. That's just not who I am. I'm not fit out to do it. My life's too messy. So what do? We withdraw from life. And we say, okay, I can't step forward into who God has made me. Listen, let me tell you something. Jesus says, if you want to find your life, lose it.
Yes, yes. Amen.
If you want to find your life, lose your life.
Yes, sir.
He's saying, listen, Paul says, I've considered everything a loss in order that I might know Christ. Listen, yes. Everything is a loss. Can we come in on Sunday mornings and take what we learn and then take it to this world? Like I said earlier, we need to be a lighthouse right now for our world.
Yes,
people
sir.
Are dying. People are addicted. People's families are breaking apart. And we need to be anchored in a Jesus that is passionate about His people. And we have to take this gospel out.
That's right.
It's too powerful to stay in these walls.
Good stuff. Yes, sir.
Derek said it tonight. Religion is gone and relationship has come. If you feel dirty, if you feel unclean, listen, I do and so does Dad and so does Derek still.
Yes, that's right.
You'll never be able to clean up enough to be like Jesus. We are dirty. We are rotten.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
But by His blood, we enter into something that is so beautiful.
Yes, sir.
That is so real. I say it, and I'm going to say it again, Colossians 3:3. My life is now hidden in Christ. When He looks at me, He sees His Son.
Yes. Yep.
He was sinless. Died a sinner's death. Rose again 3 days later that I might live. I don't have to withdraw. Yes, it gets messy. Yes, your life is going to be messy. Step forward and say, I know my identity. I know the belt of truth. I have the chest plate of righteousness. I have the helmet of my salvation. I have the sword, which is the Word of God. I have the shield of faith, and I'm ready to step forward, and whatever Satan throws at me, I will be able to stand up and say, He is good, He is King, I was dead, now I'm alive. Can I get an amen? I love this church.
Amen.
I love this church, and I love you people. We are the church.
Yes, sir.
This is not a church. This is not the church. This is not the church. We are the church.
Right.
And Jesus, listen, Jesus came for His church.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take this message. I challenge you, Bethesda. Let's not hold this to ourselves. Let's take this out to the world because there are real world issues and we need a gospel that's strong enough to withstand.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We need a Jesus who walks into the pain of His people and He heals them. That's what we need.
That's right.
That's really all I got, honestly. But listen, the Lord is just I really do feel that religion is something that for these young people, listen, y'all don't, rules, that is gone, that is the law. The rules, that is the law, just a bunch of, listen, you know the truth, live like Christ, become, fall more in love with Him.
Yes.
He is beautiful, He is holy,
oh, yeah.
Fall more in love with Him, lean into His goodness, lean into His promises, trust in, listen, the older generation, we have a younger generation. Y'all have lived way more life than I have ever lived. We need you. They need you. Old shepherd the young. Our world needs you. I know this is a little more serious talk than what y'all might thought. It would be a lot of hollering and screaming. But listen, our world needs people right now.
That's right.
That are not ashamed of a gospel.
Oh, yeah.
That will live from approval. They're not seeking approval from every little crack and crevice in their life. That they're living from approval, knowing they're approved because there's a God that loves them. I'm going to say a prayer, and then Dad, if you want to come up, and we'll have an offertory hymn. Or not an offertory. We've already took the offering.
We'll take another offering. Amen.
Father God, oh, Jesus, I just can't tell you enough. What you did on the cross, to save a friend like Derek.
Yes.
To save me when I was walking down this road that was going to lead me to destruction, and then you let me fall flat on my face just so you can restore me. God, I pray for these people in this room that whatever life throws at them, they know who you are, they know who they are in you, that they are declared righteous. That we have hope. The world doesn't have hope. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you lead us, that you strengthen us in our inner being, that we can know and experience you more. I pray that the gospel just is like throw up out of our mouth. It just comes out all the time. We're just always just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus to a world that needs it. Father, let us not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. That is what the gospel means, that there was a Savior that loved them enough. Let us take that out to the world, out of these walls. Let it not be bound by race. Let it not be bound by culture. Let our gospel be strong enough to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, who did not see color or see personality. He saw a soul that needed to be saved.
Thank you.
God, let us walk out of here with confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, I'm going to share that you will stand to your feet. I want you to do it as the Holy Spirit's leading you. This altar is always open. What an awesome night. An awesome wrap up of this revival. I want to thank Terry. For his great testimony, and I want to thank Ainsley. What a talent God has blessed you with, amen.
Amen.
Being able to learn how to play that thing by yourself without any real lessons and stuff, I mean, that was just awesome. And then Hannah and Jim and Becky, thank you for the song you shared. Oh, yeah, the preaching was awesome, too.
Amen.
But Jeff's got a song he's going to play. You just come up and do what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do right now. Maybe you need to get somebody by the hand and come up and pray with them. That's always a great thing to do. You know somebody that could use an uplifting prayer, just take them by the hand and come up here and pray with them.
Transmissions, he was touched for our sins, punished of that promise.
Throughout the whole day. So guys, if y'all will have a seat in those seats right there.
And I'm going to have to sit this thing down here for a minute. But, guys, we're going to pray.
We're going to pray for them, and we're going to anoint them. In James chapter 5, there's nothing supernatural and magical about anointing someone with oil. We're just being obedient to the Word of God. And we believe that the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Bible says it will raise them up. It will heal them, and they'll be forgiven of their sins. But I want to encourage you two guys right here now, because I'm going to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart and soul and mind and being. That if you're harboring any bitterness toward anybody in your life, you need to get that right. Because we're going to pray for healing right now, but before God can heal you completely, you've got to be willing to forgive others. You've got to be willing to move on and let it down. And if these people that you needed to have sought forgiveness from have already passed away, I'm going to tell you a little secret. You pull your chair up, and you stand in front of that chair, and you act like the person's in that chair, and you talk to them like you would talk to them if they really were alive. And I can tell you one thing, you'll be released from that. So let's pray for these guys right now. We're going to start with Jamie. Father God, I want to just pray for Jamie right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus, if you're at the root of this, to come out of this man. And Lord, do not possess him anymore with these demons of alcoholism and tobacco. And God, I'm just praying right now, Lord, you begin to heal my brother in the name of Jesus from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Lord, I love him. You know, there have been a lot of people that have turned their back on him, God, but we've stayed faithful. And God, we're going to trust you, and we're going to believe in your word, and we're going to claim this healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. And God, I'm just praying that he'll wake up in the morning feeling stronger than he ever has. And Lord, that I just pray you'll make the taste of alcohol so bitter to him that he just cannot stand it anymore, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And now I'm going to pray for my brother David right here. Father God, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of this man. If you were around him or in him or trying to just manipulate him, Satan, you have to answer to the name of Jesus, the name above all names. I just cast you out from around this man. Lord, I pray you'll build a hedge around both of these men. God, I pray that that hedge will be impenetrable, just like it was with old Job. Lord, we had to get permission. Satan had to get permission just to penetrate that hedge. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus you'll heal him. What a great man. I know he's a great man. I know he's got a good heart. Lord, he's got great children. Lord, his son is just serving you, God. And I'm praying for his healing, Father. I'm praying for healing from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And God, we're going to give you the glory because only you can do something like this. Only you can bring about something like this. And we're going to trust you. And we're going to just praise your name, Father. And we pray, God, that in the next few days and weeks and months ahead, we'll hear nothing but good things about these two men. And God, that you'll put the desire in their heart to continue to serve you all the days of their lives, Father. And all God's people, shout it out. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Amen. And that will be our dismissal. I think some hugs are in order. Amen. Amen. Ha 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 ha!